Want to share this morning from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, which is a passage that has some of the same themes that we covered in Sunday school looking at Philippians this morning. But these are Paul's prayer for the Colossian church. For this reason, since the day we first heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. Father God, we just ask, Lord, this morning that you would take this scripture and this prayer that Paul prayed for the Colossians and use it in our lives this morning. Let the Word of God speak to us and dwell in us richly. In Jesus' name. Amen. So my first impressions as I look at this prayer that Paul prayed, apart from the very first line in this passage, is that apart from that, it is one big, long sentence. There's not a period till the very end of it. It's just one big, long sentence, which is quite often you find that when Paul writes, he just flows and flows and doesn't pause. He just keeps on going. And it's not a list of things that Paul is praying for the Colossian people, but rather it's one thought that leads to another thought that leads to another thought. And so he prays in this orderly and yet rambling manner as he just prays for the Colossians and the people that he loves there, even though he's never met them. Now, when Paul prays for them, his prayer doesn't sound a lot like my prayers. And I presume that his prayer doesn't sound a lot like a lot of times the prayers that you pray. You know, an American, when we pray, we ask God for a healing touch for this person or that person, or money for this need or for that need, or for protection from suffering, or one thing, or this, or that, or something else. And that's kind of the gist of our prayer life a lot of times. But Paul prays from God's perspective and from God's purpose, and he prays about their character, and he prays about their growth, and he prays about their maturity, and he prays about their faithfulness. And that's the theme of what Paul is praying for. Now, somebody has said that you can tell what a person likes by what he or she does. And you can tell what a person thinks by what he or she says. And then you can tell what a person is by what he or she prays. Paul was a pretty incredible person. And just when you look at the prayers in different places in Scripture that Paul prayed for the Philippians or the Colossians or the Ephesians, you can just tell that he was a really remarkable person just by the things that he would pray for people, because he was really concerned about the inner life that they had. So I want to suggest to you this morning, and I'm trying to learn this myself a little bit more, but it's a good idea to take a biblical prayer like this one, or like many others in the Scripture, and use it as a guide when you're praying for other people. Just take the prayer that Paul prays for this church or that church, or that Jesus prayed, or that someone else prayed, and use it as a guide to help you pray for someone that you're praying for, or for someone that you feel led to pray for by God's Spirit. So as we get right into the meat of this, he says, for this reason, since the day we first heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. As busy as Paul was, he took time to pray for people that he had never even met. We've had over the last couple of weeks a lot of talk about just the amount of activity coming out of the White House and the hours that Trump puts in and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, Paul was kind of that temperament. He was a guy that just was wound up and ever ready. And just lots of steam to go right ahead. And he just was always on the move and planting churches and discipling people and engaging people and all of that. He just didn't need much downtime. But in the midst of that, as busy as he was, Paul spent a lot of time in prayer. And so he says to these people that he hasn't even met, he's only heard about, since I first heard about you, I've been praying for you continually. Now, you and I look at certain things that we can measure pretty well. We can measure physical growth. All of us probably grew up when our parents, you know, had some door frame that they marked our growth on. And you know, some of you may still have a door frame where you have the markings of your children at different stages and all of that. We know how to measure physical growth. Churches know how to measure church growth and all of that. But those don't tell the whole story, do they? They don't even tell us the most important story. And Paul is concerned about more important things than just physical growth or church growth in terms of numbers, but he is concerned about a spiritual growth that helps us live a life that is pleasing to God. And so he prayed that they would live a life worthy of God. Or as the King James puts it, that they would walk worthy of God. So spiritual growth really is all about this matter of growing, to know how God wants us to live and learning how to live that way. Paul's prayer was that God would fill the Colossians with the knowledge of his will, his moral will, so that they would reflect the character of God by the way that they lived their lives. Now, false teachers had come into the Colossian church, and Paul is warning them about that. And they just believe that this Gnosticism and Gnostic behavior or Gnostic knowledge was the key to everything. And Paul wants them to know, he says, no, don't focus on all the knowledge of the world. Focus on Christ and the scriptures. They are the key to spiritual growth. If you and I are really going to grow spiritually, we have to be in tune with Christ. We can't be following the teachings of any one pastor or any one person or this or that or something else. We have to stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And Paul here in this passage says that the wisdom that begins with knowledge and the awe of God is assisted by the Holy Spirit. If we're going to get wisdom and knowledge and understanding, the Holy Spirit helps us get that, and he leads us in spiritual wisdom and understanding. And so we ought to ask God. We ought to ask the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and understanding. 2 Corinthians chapter 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And Galatians chapter 5:13 reminds us that we don't use our freedom in Christ to indulge in the sinful nature, but on the other hand, the Spirit doesn't tie us all up in knots so that we're just constantly fretting and all concerned. The Spirit comes alongside us and helps us live in a way that pleases Christ. And then he goes on and he says, he prays that they would have this knowledge so that they might live a life worthy of the Lord. So in other words, there are some things that you and I have to learn in order to live a life worthy of the Lord. Until we learn about God and who He is, we can't really please Him. And so the purpose of growing in wisdom, the purpose of growing in understanding, is that we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, and we please God in every way. Godly behavior focuses on pleasing God and not people. And in the church, we have to be continually reminded of that. Don't live your life to please people. Don't live your life to please me. Don't live your life to please anyone. Live your life to please God. That is the purpose of your life. That is the purpose that God has given you in your life. Now, the King James Version, as I referenced earlier, says that you might walk worthily. Whether walking or living, it implies this continual, steady progress. Now, there's a place for significant, life-changing spiritual events in our spiritual growth. There are times when we make big decisions in salvation or sanctification. There's times for those crisis events that come along that really spur us on and make a huge difference. But there is most of our progress in the Christian life comes in steady, continual progress in the life. Becoming a Christian disciple that pleases the Lord is a lifetime journey. And so every day, all the way through our life, we just keep growing and trying to learn more about God. You think about Moses. He was a great man, and in the end, it says that no one was more humble or meek, the meekest man that ever lived, than Moses. But he spent 40 years growing up as an Israelite in the Egyptian Pharaoh's household. And then he spent 40 years in the wilderness because he killed an Egyptian that was beating up on Israelites. And then, at the age of 80, God takes him and he leads Israel for 40 years. And that's an amazing story, but you think about how God took 80 years to form this man, Moses, to lead the Israelites. 80 years. You think about Joseph, and he grew up as the favorite son of his father. And then he's sold into slavery by his brothers. I can't imagine that. Then being thrown into prison when he gets down to Egypt, and he's working for Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's wife falsely accuses him, and so he gets thrown in prison. And that's not for a short time. He's there for years in prison. And then he gets out because he can interpret a dream that Pharaoh had. And so he gets out and he rises up and he becomes second in command over the whole country. And in the end, he ends up saving his own family that had sold him into slavery from famine. And you just think about all that history that God did in Joseph's life, and some of it wasn't very pleasant. But God used his whole life to bring Joseph to the place where he could fulfill the promise that God had made to Abraham. And that Joseph could get to the place where he could forgive the very brothers who had sold him into slavery. Spiritual growth is a lifelong journey. Don't get discouraged. Just keep moving forward in your life. God uses time, and God uses all the circumstances that happen in your life and in my life to mold us and to make us the people who can please Him. And there's no quick fix to becoming a saint. There's no quick fix to becoming a person who walks worthy of the Lord. Now, Paul prays next that the Colossians, and of course us, that we will bear fruit in every good work. And so a worthy walk, first of all, is a fruitful walk. Now, to bear fruit has a number of different applications in the scriptures. Number one, to bear fruit means that you and I depend on God in order to order our steps. Because apart from Jesus, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So to be fruitful is to have that daily dependence on God. Fruit is what God accomplishes through us as we depend on Him. Fruit is often exhibited in fruit of the Spirit in terms of our character. So if we're fruitful, if we're living a life that is worthy of the Lord, God is going to be changing our character and making us more like Him and filling us with the fruit of the Spirit. Secondly, our fruit is evidenced in the way that we live, in our conduct, in our walk, as He's been talking about. And thirdly, in discipleship, in just making a difference in the lives of other people, leading other people to know Christ and helping them grow in their walk with Christ. And then Paul also prays that you and I would not only grow, and the Colossians would not only grow in their fruitfulness, but he prays that they would grow in their knowledge of the Lord. So a worthy walk is one that is always learning more about God. So, are you learning more about God? I talked to our youth last night about the fact that Scripture is God's autobiography. And so one of the things that we ought to do when we pick up the Scripture or when we listen to it or when we read it is we ought to start out by saying, God, this is your book and it tells me about you. Help me to learn something new about who you are or how you think or your character. Help me learn more about you as I read this or as I listen to the Scripture today. So it's really the Word is how we learn more about God. And God is unlimited. He is infinite. And therefore, you and I can live the rest of our life and still we won't know everything about God. You can every day learn more about God and in the Scripture. And so every day of our life can be a new learning experience as we learn about who God is. That learning should never stop in your life. And then he goes on from there and he says, being strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might so that you might have great endurance and patience. Now we bear fruit and we grow in our knowledge of God as we are strengthened by the power of God. And so a worthy walk is one that you and I don't do in our own strength. A worthy walk is one where God comes along beside us and helps us because you and I can't do it. I can't live a worthy walk, not in my own strength. God has to help me. And I have to depend on him in order to do that. Now, this Greek, the verb tense there implies that it is a continual flow, not just a one-time fix, but continually God has to supply me energy and strength in order to live a worthy walk. Now, a battery, if it goes dead in my car, I can charge it. I can put a battery charger on it and give it a great boost. But guess what? If the alternator's bad, it's going to go dead again, and I'm going to get down the road, and I'm not going to go anywhere, and the car's going to shut off. Because the battery continually needs a charge. And you and I need a continual charge in our life, and that is the charge of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the alternator that keeps us charged and gives us the strength to live a worthy life before him. And then he describes this power, and he says, it is a glorious might. And then he drops his hammer on us, and he says, and what does it lead to? Great endurance and patience. God gives us strength, not so that we are always victorious, and that every day is wonderful, and we always feel great, and we don't have any challenges, and we don't have any problems. But no, he gives us this strength so we can build endurance and patience. Huh. Any of you there? Where the greatest need you have in your life is endurance and patience with the things that you're having to deal with in your life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes along and charges us and gives us strength so that we can endure the difficulties and the challenges that come our way in life. Thomas A. Kempis advised people to live in such a way that there was always something deeper on the inside of us than anyone can see on the outside. It's a big challenge for us. And then our last verse this morning says, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. So Paul prays that the Colossians would please God by giving thanks to God with joy for their salvation. So lastly, a worthy walk is a thankful walk. A walk that pleases God is a walk in which you and I pause and give thanksgiving for what he has done. For what he has done, giving us patience and endurance. For what he has done, taking us through difficult times in our lives. For what he has done in giving us salvation. For what he's done here on earth for us. For what he has done providing an eternal home for us. All of those things are things that we should be thankful for. During trials and difficult times, being thankful is not the first thing that comes to many of our minds. It can be a challenge. How is it done? It's done by remembering what God has brought you through already. It's done by remembering what God has already done for us here on earth and what he's provided for us in eternity. And this reminder, he says, he has qualified us. I haven't done anything. You haven't done anything to qualify yourself for heaven. To get into some races, you have to run and qualify yourself. This is a race you can't qualify yourself for. God has to qualify you to get to heaven. And it is by his grace, and not by your works, but by his grace and by his grace alone, that he has qualified us, qualified you to receive this inheritance with God's holy people. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. Now, if I asked you, how many of you want to raise your hand and say, I am holy? Probably wouldn't have anybody here raise their hand and say, I am holy. Right? Not me either. Okay? But notice what he says there. He has qualified you to share in the inheritance of God's holy people. Even though you know and I know that we're not always holy, he has qualified us to share in the inheritance with God's holy people, even while we are still struggling sometimes with holiness and the practical living out of that in our own lives. And he has qualified us to be part of this kingdom of light. Not of darkness, but of light. So, now this is the prayer that Paul prays. And he prays these things for this Colossian church. He prays that they would live, you know, that they would get to know God, and that they would walk worthy of God. And so he prays four things related to that. He prays that they would be fruitful. He prays that they would learn more about God and never quit learning about God. That they would be empowered by God's Spirit. That they would not depend on their own ability to live the Christian life, but call out to God and let God be the alternator of their life. And then he calls them to be thankful. He prays that they would be thankful. Those are the things that you can pray for other people, in addition to all the other American-type prayers that we pray for people. Those are the things that you can pray for yourself. And those are challenges that Paul wants to make for each one of us. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you today and we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the scriptures. We thank you, Father, that you created each one of us, that you have a plan and a purpose for us, that you see the end from the beginning and you see the journey of life, and you don't put all your eggs in the basket of today, because today might be pretty ugly in my life. But it's not the whole story, and it's not the end story. And you see the end from the beginning, and you see the whole life journey. And I pray, Father, that you would help each one of us to remember that. That you would help each one of us to continue to grow in our life. That you would help each one of us to continue to grow in our knowledge of who you are. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to become fruitful in our life. That you would change our character and our conduct, and the influence that we have on other people. I pray, Lord, that you would come along beside us, Father, and remind us when we get to depending on ourselves and our own power and our own strength, that you would remind us to call out to you and to depend on your Spirit to charge us, to give us strength, that you would make us help us to be endure the things that we need to endure in life. Help us, Lord, to be patient. And then, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would remind us to just be thankful people for what you have done. We look around at our world today, and, Father, we have so much to be thankful for. The difference between darkness and light, the difference between those who have no knowledge of God and those of us who have been redeemed and saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, the difference is such a remarkable difference. Help us to be thankful, Father, for the difference you've made in our life. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.